The Letty Experience. Welcome to Lives Eliminated, Dreams Illuminated, an immersive multimedia experience known as Letty, presented by the Dr. David M. Milch Foundation. Letty is a collaboration between American artist Lauren Bergman and Israeli composer Ella Milch Sharif. After first encountering Lauren's haunting paintings of young Jewish women and girls murdered during the Holocaust, Dr. Milch introduced Ella to Lauren and encouraged these two creative talents to work together. Ella composed music to accompany each painting, further framing the lives lost and reimagined stories told. We are honored to share three specially selected portraits from the Lives Eliminated, Dreams Illuminated exhibition with you now. The Letty Experience. Please proceed to painting titled Temma Schneiderman. Letty Experience number 1. Temma Schneiderman. Temma was born in 1917 in Warsaw, Poland. With the outbreak of World War II, she began her activities in the Jewish underground and became a courier for the Dror youth movement in Lithuania and Poland. Temma carried out some 20 missions between Bialystok and Warsaw, even smuggling grenades in her underwear. On January 17, 1943, she entered the Warsaw ghetto. The next day, she and several other young women were arrested and deported to Treblinka, where she was murdered at age 26. Lauren Bergman saw Schneiderman as a warrior and portrays her as strong and fearless. She wears motorcycle boots and kneels next to a large gray wolf. Ella Milch Sharif's accompaniment is a dissonant version of the Partisan Song, a fitting choice for a young woman who took her destiny in her hands and did something with it.
Schneiderman was a courier in the Jewish underground. She ran more than 20 missions connecting information and finances between different isolated ghettos.
Temma helped the underground, and I heard from my father the stories about the partisans in the woods that fought against the Germans, and it connected to me.
Well, in the black and white photo, Temma is pictured with two of her friends who are also underground couriers, and Temma is with her dog. I wanted to really emphasize her warrior spirit, her strength and bravery. So the dog is transformed into a wolf. The wolf is an iconic symbol of loyalty, ferocity, being part of a pack, which the underground operated as a collective, a pack of heroes.
I feel like she really is that warrior spirit, wolf spirit. I also put her in motorcycle boots, just kind of a fun little element to just highlight her badassness.
My inspiration here, looking at this brave young woman who was killed, and Lorraine painted her with this huge dog or wolf. But look at the sky behind her. The sky is red. And I looked at the forest, the trees and the red skies, and I remembered my father singing to me the partisan song. And this is quoted in this song, but in this composition, it starts ta-ta-tam. This is the beginning of the famous partisan song that my father used to sing to me, can you imagine, before I went to sleep. It's a march, yeah. And it's very powerful. I felt the bravery of this young woman, and I wanted to bring it out.
I really wanted to capture the awe I feel in thinking about a young woman, her early 20s, going alone through forests, carrying weapons, messages, knowing that at any second she could be killed. And it's unimaginable bravery. My intent was to really amplify that and make it heartfelt that this really was a hero.
Please proceed to painting titled Sunflowers and Butterflies. Letty experience number 2. Sunflowers and Butterflies. Lauren Bergman's Sunflowers and Butterflies is a sunny reimagining of a disturbing photograph and a harrowing event. In Lwów, Poland, on the morning of July 25th, 1941, Ukrainian police began arresting Jews in their homes. Jewish prisoners were dragged to the Jewish cemetery and the Lonchki Street prison, where they were executed out of public view. Over the course of 3 days, the pogrom claimed approximately 2,000 Jewish lives. In the photograph, an unidentified Jewish woman screams in terror as she flees from her assailants. Her face is bloodied, and much of her clothing has been torn off. She runs with arms outstretched, her undergarments exposed. The colorful painting, in contrast, has totally transformed its subject. The woman wears a flowing chartreuse dress and a diaphanous white shawl as she runs through a grassy field of sunflowers and poppies. Turquoise butterflies flutter around her, and her expression is one of wonder and joy, not horror. The militaristic intensity of Elamil Sharif's music, however, provides somber contrast to the painting's optimism.
Thank you.
I look at this photograph and I feel rage. I feel despair. I feel heartbroken. I look at her with her face bloodied, her clothes torn from her, fleeing in abject terror. And it's inconceivable to me that this is being done by her neighbors, by people in the community that at one point she had trusted, had lived amongst. And it's clear that the person with the camera was casually observing this. These were photographs and films that were made by bystanders. They had no need to be taking these photos other than for their own gratification, taking a token of this woman's complete humiliation. It's traumatizing to me to look that one of her pursuers with a stick is a pre-adolescent boy. It's just the most horrific expression of where humanity can go in terms of depravity and cruelty. To be photographed by a bystander, to be beaten by a child, chased by people who are in your community, it's just inconceivable. Stripped of humanity. But this is all that's left of this woman's life. We don't know her name. We don't know anything about her except that her final moments were running through the street, bloodied, humiliated, terrified. And what is there any possible way of correcting that? I felt the need to give her something better, to have her memory survive in a more elevated way. No one should be remembered like this. In all honesty, this was the most difficult painting I've ever done in my life. I felt tremendous pressure to do her justice, to give back some level of humanity. In my process, I wanted to paint her in her entirety, a complete woman. And I did what I could to give her joy, to give her memory some respect, light, and elements of the human experience that she could carry with her that were beautiful.
Well, here, of course, the photograph influenced me tremendously. And this time, I would like to read what I wrote about this piece, because it was at the time when I composed it, and it shocked me so much that I wouldn't be able to speak about it now. So let me just read what I say. A young woman chased by a boy. She is wounded, and her clothes are torn. She is screaming with terror and fear. She is running for her life. In the painting, we see the girl running, surrounded by butterflies and flowers. I could not hear but her scream again and again. Scream and running for her life. Chasing and scream. But the scream is silenced. We cannot hear the scream. We see it. It's frozen forever. And the butterflies and flowers appear to comfort her, but again chase and scream. All these images were in my mind while composing this small miniature. At the middle of this composition, you have this butterflies and right. Running. But if we go to the beginning, and you have the space, the frozen nothingness, and then suddenly,
right,
and then again nothingness, and bam, and then the chase with the percussion. Until we come to the woodwinds, where you have a little bit of escape It's from the photograph to the painting to the dream world, yeah. But then again to the chasing and to the endless scream. So it's a very short miniature, but for me personally, one of the dearest to my heart.
There is a lot of symbolism in this painting. I wasn't analyzing it. I really want to get across that this was an emotional painting. It wasn't plotted and structured. This is my apology to her that this happened, that humanity turned on her. Yes, there are all these things that do have concrete symbolism, symbolic meaning. They are given to her as gifts, as tokens of gratitude for her life, and that she will be remembered. She will be remembered as a beautiful human being, not a suffering human being.
Please proceed to painting titled Family Picnic Memories, Letty Experience Number 3. Family Picnic Memories. Family Picnic Memories differs from the other paintings in the exhibition and is particularly meaningful for Letty's founder, Dr. David Milch. The girl seated in the foreground, wearing a nautical blouse, in addition to being the only Holocaust survivor in the Letty collection, is David's mother, Lucia Rosenzweig Milch. This family picnic is imagined from her point of view. Lucia survived after losing more than 100 members of her extended family, including those seen here. Lucia's mother, Neche Rubin Rosenzweig, in the green dress, her grandmother, Frieda Rubin, her father, David Rosenzweig, who died 4 years before the war, and young Ginja, Neche's daughter with second husband, Jacob Goldberg, who is not pictured. At 92 today, Lucia is a remarkable woman with an almost photographic memory of everything that happened to her before, during, and after the Holocaust. The poignant music created by David Milch's cousin, Ella Milch Sharif, uses the familiar Yiddish lullaby, Raisins and Almonds, Rozhinkas mit Mandeln, which Lucia remembers from childhood. Her personal commentary follows the music.
started with the real honor of being asked to create this portrait for David Milch's mother's 90th birthday. I hadn't yet met Lucia. I watched the documentary about her life, and it's shattering and it's profoundly beautiful. There were just two photographs to work from, and her little half-sister, Ginia, there was no photo documentation of her. So I used the photo of Lucia as a young child to get a sense of what Ginia may have looked like. I started the painting in September of 2020, and it happened to be Rosh Hashanah. Watching the documentary of Lucia Rosenzweig Milch's life, where she recounts her beautiful childhood memories of being in a large family with Shabbat candles flickering and having beautiful family holidays such as Rosh Hashanah. And I wanted this family to have a Rosh Hashanah picnic, to be gathered as a family in a holiday setting where we're celebrating a new year. The grandmother is holding a pomegranate, which is something we eat for Rosh Hashanah. There's challah bread in the picnic basket, and front and center is Lucia, who is just this incredibly beautiful young woman. And I heard the story that this photograph was taken after the war in the DP camp. And she had the sailor suit made, and I can't even imagine what it must have been like to survive just the most desperate, horrific traumas, and then to have a new garment. And she spoke about how happy she was to wear that. And it was a very popular dress at the time, to emerge into life with an outfit that is of the time and to radiate such beauty and goodness.
David approached me and said, I asked Lorraine to make a painting dedicated to this occasion, and could you make music? And then I called Lucia. And I said, Lucia, which kind of songs did you sing as a child? What did you like? And she said, the song I liked the most is Rosinkes and Mandel. This is a very well-known Yiddish song. And I said, thank you. And I made this composition inspired and based on this song. Rosinkes and Mandel means in English raisins and almonds. This composition is actually the only composition which doesn't have this threat or dark feeling into it. And in the middle part, it's really joyful.
Oh, yeah.
It's
yeah.
a ceremony, a joyful 90th anniversary. But in the last bar, just the last bar, there is the beginning of a very well-known Yiddish song, Oifen Pripichek. Oifen Pripichek. Just this.
Oh.
At the very
oh,
end.
Yes.
And this song tells another story. So in the last bar, you have a hint of actually what's behind everything.
We cannot possibly imagine coming from a large, loving, well-to-do family that celebrated together, that shared life together, to be the one to survive and to move forward in life. And her life inspired the life of David. We see Lucia, the sole survivor, in the front, and her family is standing behind her, and they will stand behind her eternally, as they will stand behind David, and as we carry all of our ancestors forward.
Such a powerful family portrait, so meaningful for me, and I'm so proud to say that here with us today, at 92 years young, is my mother, Lucia Rosenzweig Milch. And Mom, you are a survivor. You experienced all of this firsthand. We're talking about art, the paintings, the music, honoring the living memory, because living memory is precious, and all that we've been trying to get a handle on.
I would like to say that I'm looking at my father there, at my grandmother next to him, my beloved mother, my little sister, and myself. My beloved family was an ordinary family living in Eastern Europe, a small little town called Skalat. I'm the only survivor on that photograph, but that's not enough. I am a survivor. By the time the town was filled with Jews from other towns, we were under 10,000 human beings. Out of those 10,000 human beings, none of those on the picture are alive. And for some, it was a tragic end, especially my mother and my little sister. Out of 10,000 people, 176 or 77 survived. I am one of them. Everybody else is gone. My memory of my parents is incredible. Very, very ordinary, but devoted, extremely aware parents. My mother tried to teach me during the Holocaust how to survive. I look at her. I remember her taking away a piece of bread so that I and my sister will have a little bit more. My grandmother was telling bubemises, little stories. She was telling me, I would say, Grandma, sing a song. And she would sing what? Yiddish lullabies. Offen Pripichik, offen Pripichik, brennt a fire. Oh, I remember that. And she would tell me stories. My father, unfortunately, my father died before the war, developed cancer, and he died. During the war, my mother said her husband was lucky. Lucky? He died and he was lucky. Everybody here will understand why. Because he didn't have to be shot. He survived. He was proud of me. Each and every one of us had something wonderful to want to live for. And that painting represents that part of a wonderful life which was cut like a live tree at the very, very bottom. And I knew what I had to do. I had to learn and then to teach. That is what I'm doing here. My mother was still teaching me. She still told me, remember who you are. And remember to tell the world, do not forget. We had hopes, and my mother had, and my father had aspirations for me. All of this was gone. We had no more hopes left. It was robbed. We had no more food left. We were starving. It's different to be hungry, and it's different to starve. We were petrified, frightened. It's different to be frightened, and it's different to be totally immobilized by fear. Panic-stricken to sit as a Jewish child in my mother's kitchen and to shake like a dry leaf on the tree. So I wanted to be able to have hope. I wanted to fulfill my mother's instructions to me to tell the world what happened to us, never to stop telling it, never to stop teaching it, never to stop passing it on. That was what the background of that painting is. That's what made me. I want to pass it on for those who will remember and teach it after I am gone.
Thank you for participating in the Leti Experience. To see and hear more of the collection, you can choose to hear music alone or music plus art commentary at any time. Also, please visit our video room near the gallery entrance for the Leti origin story and more. We welcome your comments and deeply appreciate your interest in Lives Eliminated, Dreams Illuminated. We wish you well.